This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Daniel. If you come to chapter 11, verse 36, I'd like to read verse 36 to the end of the chapter. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him, like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. And he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. And he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy, and not only to make many, to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacle of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us about your word and speak to us about the events that are going to transpire in the near future. And Lord, help us to see that the world is being set up to follow this man. Lord, help us to realize that people are looking for someone who can deliver them and give them, meet their needs and offer them solutions to their problems. And Lord, Satan is going to have his man there. Lord, now we pray that you would just speak to us through your word this afternoon. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we looked at Antiochus Epiphanes, who came into Israel and during the time of the Maccabees and tried to establish a Hellenistic worldview in Israel. Came against all that God stood for, tried to destroy and overthrow the temple worship. And we saw last week that the Maccabees revolted against this and prevented it from happening. In the last days, there's going to be another man that is going to be just very similar in character to Antiochus Epiphanes. The only thing is he's going to be more powerful and have a greater influence in the world. Some of the things that are descriptions that Daniel gives him are things that people are looking for in a man today to lead the world. Someone who has power, someone who has wisdom, someone who is really what is referred to as the new man, the Superman. And Satan's man is going to fulfill all of these things. The events that are going to transpire here will be occurring during the last 7 years or what is referred to as the tribulation period, which is the first 3.5 years, and then the great tribulation, which would be the last 3.5. This man will come to power, and it'll start out where he's going to have a treaty that'll appear that is going to finally bring peace to the Middle East. Even today, we've talked before in various messages as I brought how that peace is an elusive thing in the Middle East. Right now, there's saber-rattling going on in Iran as they are in the process of enriching uranium and threatening to make nuclear bombs and drop them on Israel. At the same time, Russia is increasing its forces in Syria and in Lebanon. They've also increased their navy in the area and the region. At the same time as that's going on, we're seeing that Turkey is joining with Russia and Syria and Iran in saber-rattling against Israel. So there's a lot of things happening there. And we see that this appearance of constant state of war, this man is going to come and he's going to have the ability, it appears, to bring peace to this unstable region of the world. That's going to mark the beginning of the tribulation when he comes and establishes a peace treaty with Israel and all of her neighbors and enemies around her. And we see that that's exactly what it was foretold that he would do. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall make marvelous things against the God of gods. He is going to exalt himself as the God, and which isn't surprising because we see that what's happening in our cultures around the world is that people are being taught to look within, that they are God, and that they can aspire to godhood. I remember way back when I was a freshman in college, we took a class on the founders of the psychology, and one of them was Abraham Maslow. Abraham Maslow had his hierarchy of needs. The highest need that man had was self-actualization. Self-actualization is realizing that you're God. And he said that that's what all men need to aspire to. This guy's not only going to aspire to it, he's actually going to claim he's achieved it. And he's going to say that there is no other God in the whole world except him. I am God. He's going to speak out against the Lord of Lords, the true and living God. He's going to speak out against all that God loves. And he is going to declare himself to be God and above every God. He goes on and he says, and he shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. And what is the indignation that shall be accomplished? At the midpoint through the tribulation, there's a series of events that are described to Daniel that begin to happen. This man is going to have control, and he's going to bring his power out of the old Roman Empire. We know that the Club of Rome and other groups, the Bilderbergers and others, have determined that there should be 10 regions of the world, and these 10 regions of the world should be governed by 10 governing bodies. The scriptures talk about the fact that there's going to be 10 kings in the last days. Out of these 10 kings, 3 of them will rise up in rebellion against this leadership. But he is going to come as the little horn out of one of the horns that was referred to and seen in Daniel. And he's going to grow in power. And when these other 3 kings come against him, he'll put their revolt down. He's going to possess the power, he's going to possess the ability, and he's going to stop the revolt. We see that there's going to come, as it's interesting, as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. There comes a revolt from the south and a revolt from the north. Some Bible scholars believe that these could be symbolic of the wars that are spoken of in Ezekiel chapter 38. Where you see that Russia, Gog and Magog, attack Israel from the north. and that he will have made a peace treaty with Israel and will be called in to defend Israel against this attack. However, before he can get there, we know from Ezekiel that God is going to supernaturally protect Israel and defeat Russia and its allies when they come and attack from the north. At the same time that attack is going on, there's going to come another attack from the south, which would be Egypt and its allies. And we see that he goes down and he puts that rebellion out. And then he has to return again because of the attack on Israel from the north. All of this is going on in the Middle East, and it all appears as if he's Israel's friend. He's the one that's there to defend Israel. He's the one that's there to come to their aid. He's the one that's there to preserve them. However, after the Russians have been defeated supernaturally by God, and the Egyptians and their allies are no longer a threat to him, he does an amazing thing. He turns his back on Israel. And there's a couple things he does. He divides the land. Did you see that in here? He divided the land. And the land has been talked about being divided for years. And the last thing that it appeared that Benjamin Netanyahu, under his last term as prime minister, was going to annex the West Bank. He was also going to annex Judea and Samaria into Israel and make them part of Israel, formally part of Israel. They are part of Israel, but they would be formally declared to be Israeli territory. However, it never happened. Every time that it seemed like Benjamin Netanyahu was going to do it, something would come up. And today, Benjamin Netanyahu probably is not going to be prime minister very much longer. It appears that Naftali Bennett and one of the leaders from one of the more liberal parties are going to form an alliance, which is really strange bedfellows. You've got the most conservative party in Naftali Bennett and one of the liberal parties joining together. But they said, we need to have a government in Israel, and Benjamin Netanyahu cannot put one together. And part of the reason is Benjamin Netanyahu is out for Benjamin Netanyahu. That has become very evident. And as one of the things that you've seen happen in Israel, I never thought I'd see the day that Israel would become a petri dish for the world, and that's what they've done. They've given more shots percentage-wise to Israelis than they have to anybody else of these COVID shots. And they know very well that these shots will not prevent the virus, will cause problems, and they want the Israelis to be the main guinea pigs. And it's terrible what Netanyahu has done to his nation. And there was a video that I believe Brady or Loretta sent me some time ago of an Israeli woman pleading with people in the West to ask the politicians to talk to the Israeli politicians and stop this nonsense of these shots on the Israeli people. Currently in Israel, in order to travel around the country, you have to have a vaccination card. You can travel freely. You can do anything you want. If you've got the card, if you don't have it, you can't go. And there was people that I just read an article in the Jerusalem Post not that long ago where there were some people whose grandparents and parents had been in concentration camps, and they said, I cannot believe we're bringing to Israel what Germany did to our parents and grandparents. That is, they couldn't buy and sell without a card, and now we're making our own citizens in Israel do the same thing. And so it's very disgusting. Well, the solution that this guy is going to come up with is dividing the land. It'll solve all the problems. And he's going to have a way of doing it and so that everybody will feel that they're the winners. Somehow he's going to be able to do that. He's also going to be able to bring about, allow the rebuilding of the temple on the Temple Mount. Today, the Dome of the Rock is sitting where the temple sat, and people are saying, how can the temple be rebuilt on Temple Mount with the Dome of the Rock in the and then also the Muslims have a mosque there as well. The Al-Aqsa Mosque is on the Temple Mount as well. I don't know how he's going to do it. Perhaps it's going to involve trading land for the right for the Jewish people to have access to the temple, to build their temple again. But we do know that everything is being put in place. They are saying they could build the temple in a matter of months, not years, as they have all of the main components put together. They have the plans drawn up, and they're ready to move as soon as they are able to get up to the Temple Mount and do it. It's going to happen. And they're going to reestablish the sacrificial system on the Temple Mount, because at the midpoint of the tribulation, as Daniel sees in this vision, all of a sudden the sacrifices are going to stop, and he's going to come in and he's going to desecrate the temple, declaring himself to be God and demanding that people offer sacrifices to him, because he is the only God and the true and the living God. We know that he represents Satan, and that this is nothing more than Satan's last attempt to get the world to honor and to worship him, and to come against that which God established as our means of salvation. So we see that this is what lays in store. But in verse 38, in his estate he shall honor the God of forces. Now the God of forces, it's an interesting term, the God of forces. You remember there used to be a series of movies, May the Force Be With You. The God of forces is Satan. That is not the true and the living God. You cannot know the God of forces. If you ever even were aware of what the storyline was in Luke Skywalker and all of that, there was the good side, the dark side of the force, and the light side of the force, and they were both just you need both of them, and they were there. It's much like Eastern mysticism with yin and yang, opposites, and yet you need the opposites to bring about the reality. It's all a bunch of lies. But he is one who would worship the God of the forces. And who is the God of the forces? Satan is the God of the forces. And so we see here that, but his estate he shall honor the God of the forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor. And he's going to honor him with gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things. So there's going to be real worship of Satan under this man's leadership and tutelage. And he is going to be at the center of it, being the personification of Satan. Satan, everything that Satan does, he wants to simulate what is reality and what is truth. So where God has a triunity, he has the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Satan has the false prophet, himself, and the Antichrist. We also see that he has his one who shall be the Redeemer or Savior of mankind. He's going to come in and have the solution to all of man's problems. I tell you, you listen to some of these people who are going to align themselves with this guy, and what they've got in store for us, it's unbelievable. They want to be God, and they want to have eternal life, and they're going to gain eternal life by being able to maintain their state of consciousness and transfer it from one body to another, ultimately their state of consciousness to a computer, ultimately then from the computer they'll be able to transfer it to the cloud, and so that they will be there, but they won't have a body, they'll just be a spirit. In other words, they want to be God, but they can never be God. They want to have eternal life, but they will not do it on God's terms, but rather they're trying to create eternal life for themselves. It is the most bizarre thing, and these are smart people. These are not people that aren't intelligent, but they are very, very foolish and stupid with their approach to reality, because they think that they can become God. He is going to be the epitome of what epitomizes them. One of the things that they hope to do is they will no longer have a body, but they'll have a hologram, And this hologram, they can appear and disappear with the hologram. And so it appears that they had a body. He is going to do something probably very similar to that by appearing in the temple. It'll appear that he's been put to death, but he comes back to life. A lot of people believe that could be by a hologram and artificial intelligence. It's just like the Bible says, if God doesn't intervene, man will become so corrupt and so awful that he will destroy himself and all of God's creation. And so this man is going to be the one who will honor the God of forces. Verse 39, thus shall he do the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him. And again, there we talked about that a little earlier. Verse 41, he shall enter also into the glorious land, that is the land of Israel, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief children of Ammon. And so not all the nations in the Middle East are going to be brought under his control. And we also know that the Lord says that the people of Israel, the Jewish people that are left alive when he comes to power, are to flee when they see him come to power and they see the desolation occurring in the temple. They're to flee, and they're not to go back and get anything, but they're to flee to the mountains. And a lot of Bible scholars believe that that's down in the area of Petra, which would be in what is Jordan today, where Moab and Ammon and their land would be what Jordan is today. And so that land will remain free and will be a place of refuge for the Jewish people during this time that are not put to death by him. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push. Then verse 42, he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. He's going to have control over everywhere else except these few countries that he mentioned here, the Moabites and the Ammonites. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with a great fury to destroy and utterly to make take away many. And there's both out of the east, this could be Iran, it could also be China. There's a 200 million man army that's referred to that's going to cross the Euphrates River. If you look at what's happening in the Middle East today, why would China be so interested in Israel? Well, they've got a lot of money invested in Israel. They are buying Israeli companies. They're taking over Israeli land. They're setting up all kinds of their own computer technology in Israel. And all of a sudden, if this man comes in and says, China, you're done, I'm taking over Israel, they would be very upset. And they could send an army. The only nations in the world that could man a 200 million man army are India and China. The only one that really appears to be a threat to all of these things going on, according to today's political scene, would be China. And the stage is being set for that to happen. Never before, when I was a kid, I remember a 200 million man army coming from the east, and I thought, oh, that sounds interesting, but it never happened. It could happen today, and it could happen rather quickly. And also, as I mentioned before, never before have Russia, Iran, Turkey been united like they are today. Never before have things been aligning in the Middle East as they are today. And never before has the European Union been coming together and really pressing to have this 10-nation confederacy, and that they would like to have someone that would be a leader I've heard a number of people say we need to have someone who can be the leader, that can be the one to give us direction, that can be the one to set the tone. That's exactly what the Bible said is going to happen in the last day. It's all coming. The only thing is, the King's coming too. And we don't have to worry. Because it doesn't matter what this guy's going to do. It's going to get awful ugly in the world the last half of the tribulation. But the thing is, it's only the precursor to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords coming with his 10,000s of saints to establish his kingdom of righteousness for 1,000 years, and then the new heavens and the new earth for eternity. You and I get to experience that. We don't have to worry about this. But there's a whole lot of people that are being set up today to fall right in line with this guy. And all the lies that he's going to perpetrate and bring people today, nobody even questions things that they're asked to do. A lot of them just get in line to do it. And that's exactly what's going to happen in the last days with this guy. Let's just close in prayer, Lord. I pray that you would help us to understand the coming Antichrist. He's powerful. And that he's going to be wicked and evil. But you shall destroy him. And Lord, help us to place our trust and hope in you. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Closing. Turn to Marvelous Message We Bring. And yeah, 275. 275.